Christ for his dear sake. and 123-135.
Yeah. have several that's going to a reunion, family reunion, after, as soon as we break up, so we'll go ahead and start a minute or two earlier than we would have, rather than sing another hymn. We want to welcome everybody again that's come to worship with us today. We certainly appreciate your presence. And most of all, we're thankful for the love of God that's been shared abroad in our hearts that gives us a desire to come and to worship Him whom our soul loveth, who's redeemed us from our grievous sins and iniquities and paid a terrible price that we might not only live and have life and have it more abundantly, but have hope of eternal life, which He is the author of. So we are thankful for the privilege and your presence again to assemble ourselves together here to worship Him, to adore Him, and to praise Him for His wonderful mercy and grace. We had a wonderful fifth Sunday meeting here last month, the fifth Sunday of last month, and we thoroughly enjoyed the service. And we wish we had some of those good preacher brethren with us here today to help us out. We found out just this morning, we stopped by Oak Grove Church out there, and several already there, that the Elder J.D. Belton from Mount Airy came down here to our meeting, but he got lost and couldn't find the place until he finally asked somebody. It was 12 o'clock, so he wouldn't come in. We sure are sorry to hear that. But we're certainly thankful for the good meeting, and we had a wonderful communion service at our home church last Sunday at Pine. Had two visiting preachers with us there, and the Lord is gracious and merciful and long-suffering, and for that we're thankful. If He wasn't, we wouldn't be here, would we? What is your number, Brother Keith?
Page
152, the last hymn. We'll ask you to stand if you would like or can as we sing, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we certainly hope that the Lord will indict your heart with a prayer, and we'll be blessed to pray together for one another and for the service.
Green and faint and poor, behold us, Lord, again, assembled at Thy mercy's door, Thy bounty to obtain, the word commands us now. All we must stop in thee, for we know money have to buy, no righteousness to plead. The food our spirits want, Thy hand alone can give. Oh, hear the prayer of faith and grant that we may eat and live.
Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we're thankful for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his righteousness and for his merits, for the marvelous grace that thou hast bestowed upon us through and by him, that we might come to thee and spread our prayers and supplications and petitions before thee again, thou who art most holy and holier than to look upon sin to condone it. And we confess what's more before thee, our Father, that we have sinned, and we have all turned to our own way and come short of thy glory, and how we desire to thank and to praise thee again, most holy Father, and our blessed Redeemer, the Lamb of God, who is now sitting at the right hand making intercession for thy dear people. How we desire to thank thee, to praise and adore thy great and wonderful name once more. We thank thee, our Father and our Lord and Master, for thy church, which thou hast purchased with thine own blood, and which thou hast said that thou would build, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. We thank you, dear Lord, for a few of thy broken creation that's assembled together here this morning to worship and to praise thee, to thank thee for such wonderful mercy and grace as thou hast bestowed upon poor undeserving sinners. And our Father, we thank thee not only for the church, but for thy blessed gospel, for the word of God that thou hast had recorded for our edification and our learning and upbuilding and reproof, and for that which is needful for our souls, that we might grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Lord, that thou hast bestowed these wonderful mercies and blessings upon us. And we pray, dear Father, and our blessed Lord, that through the power of the Holy Ghost, once more we pray that thou would send forth thy word, that it might go forth in power. Blessed, O Lord, to the praise and the honor of thy great and wonderful name and thy cause here in the earth. We confess and realize that we are not worthy of the least of thy blessings, that we are sinful beings, and yet, O Lord, if not deceived in our hearts, thou hast loved us and suffered in our behalf, and has paid our sin debt, for which we're eternally grateful. And pray, O Lord, that for thy name's sake and for thy cause, I would bless once more the assembly of thy people this morning, not only here, but all over this great land and the world, O Lord, wherever they are. Bless thy people and thy ministering servants. Bless thy word. Send it forth, O Lord, in the power of the Holy Ghost and in great conviction, that we might feed and live upon thee who art the living word. Our Father, we would pray for the sick and the afflicted, the aged and the infirm, the old, the depressed, the oppressed, each and every one, Father, that whose heart is trusting in thee. And we're thankful, O Lord, that thou knowest them that trust in thee, and that the foundation of God standeth sure because of this. And we're thankful, our Father and our God and our blessed Lord, that thou knowest how to comfort the bereaved and the sick and the afflicted. We pray, Lord, that it might please thee in thy great mercy and goodness to pray to bless the members of this church that can't be here today, the friends of this church that would love to be here and are not here. We pray for each household that's here represented today. Bless us, O Lord, for thy name's sake and for thy mercy's sake. We thank you, O Lord, once again for this great country. We pray for its leaders, dear Lord. Oh, may they realize, our Father, their need of thee, and seek thy face in favor, that they might rule in such a way that it would be acceptable in thy sight. These blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. I'd like to read several verses of scripture in the first chapter of 1 Peter. And we desire a continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you. I think I'll start with the 17th verse, because that's about the first place that has appeared before I get to the scriptures that I had in mind, starting with the 17th verse in the first chapter of 1 Peter. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And the thought we had in mind this morning was those scriptures where saying being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But before we get to that, we'd love to go back and think about some of these things that Peter has told us. And I always love to remember myself how that the Lord exhorted Peter that when he was converted to strengthen the brethren. And here we believe that this was a very fervent desire in Peter's heart and mind when he began to write to the brethren, that he might fulfill that command that his Lord had given him. Because you know how Peter had denied the Lord three times, and the Lord had commanded him three times to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs, and to feed his sheep. And we believe that three times was connected to the three denials to reassure Peter. And so Peter was converted. And I've heard some people use that expression as the same thing as being born again, or being regenerated from a dead state of sin to a newness of life in Christ Jesus. But to my mind and my understanding, to be converted is something altogether different. To be converted, when Peter, the Lord told Peter, Peter had told him, you know, he said that he should not suffer and be crucified as the Lord had told him. And the Lord told Peter, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things of men and not the things of God." It's hard for us to understand that though the Lord Jesus Christ is a man, the man abhorred the suffering that he had to go through. And he prayed, if it could be the Father's will, to let that cup pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But at the same time, the holy passion of the Son of God was to do his Father's will. I mean, that was his desire, that was his will, that was his love, that was his passion. Everything about him was to obey his heavenly Father. I mean, there was no hypocrisy, no, there was nothing mixed or mingled against that whatsoever in the Holy Son of God. Though regardless of how much suffering it took, it was his passion that he do the will of God. And so that's the reason he told Peter. He said, that idea come from the father of lies, from him who was a murderer from the beginning, the devil. And anything that would be contrary to the will of God, you know, that's what we're to pray for. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that should be our desire, that the will of the Father, that we should obey him and serve him and love him, because Christ is a perfect example to every child of God. And though the death of the Son of God, especially the death of crucifixion, was repulsive to the flesh of the innocent and sinless Son of God, but yet his love, he would not turn aside whatsoever. Now one of the prophets said he set his face like flint, and he would not be turned. He neither turned to the left nor to the right, but his desire was to do the will of God. And so he told Peter, you know, he said, you're savoring the things of men and not the things of God when you talk like that. When you try to tell me that I'll not be crucified, or I should not suffer these things, you don't understand my purpose for coming, nor the Father's purpose for doing it. It pleased the Father to bruise him. Now that sounds like a contradiction in terms, for he loved the Son. He was the Son of his love. But yet it pleased him to bruise him. And why did he do that? Because it was in Christ that peace and righteousness and mercy and justice met together in him. God is just and he's holy and he cannot condone sin. And he loved the people that were sinful. And in order for them to be redeemed, then the penalty of sin must be paid. And it was to be paid in his Son. And so Peter didn't understand that. And that's why he needed to be converted. And that's what God's people, beloved, need today. They need to be converted from an incorrect view of themselves, from a correct view of God. I don't know whether you heard Elder Bradley this morning or not. No, Brother Powell's one of them. But anyway, people have their own idea of what God is like. And you might have been taught that when you was a child. You might have read it in a little book somewhere. Or if you don't, you've got an idea in your mind. And how many times have you heard people say things like this when they're talking about salvation or heaven or hell or judgment or things pertaining to God? And I've in the heat of debate and sometimes just pure argument, I've heard say, well, I don't care what anybody says, I believe so and so and so and so and so. I just don't care what anybody says, I believe this and I believe that. How many times have you heard people talk like that? I just don't care what you say, I believe. And they have an idea of what God is like. And they do not want anything to interfere. And beloved, if it's not in accordance with the Word of God, especially the children of God, should be willing to bring their idea of what God is like, what Christ is like, what judgment is like, anything that we entertain like that, we should be willing to bring it to the Word of God and to the plumb line and to the square, and to see if it measures up. And if what we believe don't measure up with the Word of God, we ought to humbly and readily and thankfully throw it out. But people are wedded to their ideas, and they'll fight over it. They'll even go to war over it. And they say, I love God, and if you don't believe it, just I'll fight for it. I'll fight for what my idea of God is. And Peter, you know, that's what Peter was expressing there. And the Lord said that he must be crucified and be fall into the hands of man. He said, far be it from thee, Lord, that anything like that should happen to you. And so we need to to be willing to believe the Word of God, whether it conflicts with our ideas of it or not. And that's where, beloved, when men come, when God's children are converted, they come to the place where they say, Lord, I don't care what the truth is and how much it costs, just show me the truth. And beloved, it'll cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Every man, the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth into it. And the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence. If you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven as God set it up down here, beloved, it's going to cost you something. You've got to repent and believe the word of God. You've got to be willing to throw out your ideas. When God and the Father, when John the Baptist and the Lord our Savior told his people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, I'm sure he was talking to many who were moral, decent, godly people who were serving them in under the law service. Now, I know that the Pharisees were wicked, wicked men. And anybody that could be dressed up in the garments of religion as a chief leaders of the religious nation and could go out and pay money to people to lie against the Savior, that's pretty wicked, I'd say, but that's what they done. They were some wicked men there ruling over Jerusalem, and I grant you that. But there was some always, there was God's people there, and they told them to repent. And that's the sum and substance of the gospel message, is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's the sum and substance of the gospel for the last 2,000 years since Christ was manifest, which was ordained before the foundation of the world, Peter said here, but was manifest in these last times for you. And since he has been manifested, since he come in the flesh, the message has been repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not necessarily, it's the same God. It's true, the Jews worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because it was through them that they had their nations, and they had the Bible, and they had the Word of God. They had their tabernacle. They had the commandments and the statutes and everything they had received through Moses, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Since then, they prefaced their prayers and their many of their remarks by, blessed be the God of Abraham, or blessed be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or maybe any one of them in particular. And sometimes it was David. But now it's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the term the apostles use. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation, chief cornerstone of the church. Now, Peter was converted. He felt like that he would never deny the Lord. He said, though all men leave you and forsake you, I'll not. I'll go with you even unto death. But he denied him to a little maiden there by a campfire. Said, aren't you one of them Galileans? Well, you see, right over there, not far from him, they had the Lord Jesus bound, and they were whipping him and smiting him and mocking him and making fun of him. And he was standing there like a humble, like a sheep, and openeth not his mouth. And they were having sport with him. And when Peter saw that, he didn't want no part of that, beloved. Now, the flesh wilts when it comes to persecution. It don't have to come to persecution, just being a little bit embarrassed, and we'll deny the Lord. You ever been out in a crowd and somebody said something against the Lord and you knew it was wrong and you didn't say a word about it? You didn't defend him? You didn't come to the rescue of his, to honor his name? You just hang your head down and wished you weren't there? And beloved, it's easy. You know, the flesh is weak. The Spirit's with him, but the flesh is weak. So Peter, he said, I don't even know the man. I don't know him. And he denied him three times and cursed and swore to impress this maiden, you know, that he had nothing to do with that holy man. So he cursed and swore. But Peter was converted. And the Lord said, I prayed for thee, Peter. Satan has desired thee to sift thee like wheat. And that's what he'll do, beloved. He'll do it to you. He'll do it to me. He'll do it to every one of God's children, except the grace of God and the Spirit of our Lord give us power to withstand Him. That's just exactly what He'll do. And the Lord said, Peter, I've prayed for thee. And when thou converted, strengthen the brethren. And that's what he was converted from, that he didn't have the power of himself to follow the Lord, and he couldn't stand in his own power, in his own right, and that he was dependent upon the God of glory to deliver him and to lead him and to guide him. And this is done by the Holy Ghost, and it was given to the church at Pentecost. And so now Peter is reasserting that God's elect. He talked about it over here. I don't want to get back over in that. And said, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. Now that right there, that's a truth that so many of God's people say, if we could just get God's people, we get down here, many of the Lord's people take this scripture and say that through the preaching of the gospel, that God's children are born of the Spirit of God, that by the preaching of the Word of God, this is one of the scriptures, and there's many others that they use. And I can see why that they would use that. I mean, you're being wedded to that idea. I mean, this is good scripture to go to if you believe that. And because it certainly, if you you could easily read that way if you were believe that spirit, believe that doctrine that through the preaching of the gospel that God's children are quickened into newness of life. And But there's so many people that do not really believe. They say they believe in original sin, that we're all sinners. But then they turn right around and give a power to people that they might, of their own selves, receive the Word of God or believe the Word of God or come to Christ or accept Christ, or that it is within their power to do something that would merit or cause Christ to quicken them. And that's the way they use the scripture. They say that through the preaching of the gospel, and of course the more orthodox will say that the Spirit uses it. It's under that you got to have the Holy Ghost in it, that it's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God, the preached Word of God, and uses it to quicken God's people. But beloved, there are so many instances in Scripture that shows us that this cannot be true, because it will not harmonize with so many other scriptures, and one of them is that the Apostle John says that whosoever believeth that Jesus is a Christ is born of God, and in the first chapter of John it said that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born, not of the will of the flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. And the Apostle Paul, that's the positive side of it. And then on the negative side, it says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned, and for their foolishness unto him. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. The natural man is a man that's born of Adam into this world in the state in which everybody has been born since Adam and Eve sinned and were cast out of the Garden of Eden. That's the natural man. That's the natural mind. And instead of going back to when that happened and finding out what the scriptures teach us that happened, they take the position in many cases that man is still in the same condition that Adam was in when God made him innocent. And Adam had no sin, and he knew no sin. I mean, he was innocent. He was good and very good. And so God created him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him and the spirit of life, and he became a living soul. And Adam was not a sinner. He was good and very good. And if we ever had free will, as so many people talk about free will, if there ever was a free will, well, Adam had it. I mean, he was, Adam was not standing on a brink there as to whether I shall believe in God or not believe in God, or whether I shall follow God or not follow God. He loved God. He knew God. He was a son of God. He was in fellowship with God. He was a sinless, innocent human being, but he was tempted. He was tempted, and when he was tempted, he sinned. And when he sinned, all of the human race was in his loins. And when he sinned, we sinned. And some said, "Well, that's not fair. I mean, you know, I wasn't there. I mean, that, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done it." No. You are Adam. Adam is us, and we are Adam.